even if this was a strategic Bitcoin reserve only, which it is not, it doesn't even resemble a Bitcoin reserve, that still does nothing to eliminate government from our money supply.
Some of these guys, honestly, like Trump could sleep with their wife and they would still find a complicated way to explain why it was good for their marriage, right? Like the man can do no wrong.
They don't care about the American people. It's very clear. They think you're all a bunch of f***ing idiots because otherwise, why would they be abusing you, you know, in such an open way?
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick and Tony with me, and the news is crazy this week, guys. I think we're going to be talking mostly about one subject. I'm going to share my screen here. So the SBR isn't an SBR. It's a strategic shitcoin reserve. Donald Trump tweeted, I think on Sunday, that he's going to include like Cardano, a bunch of different shitcoins in some sort of crypto reserve. And then immediately the theories came out that this was really done for exit liquidity for some of the rich tech guys that supported Trump. There seems to be some evidence of this. So Adam Semeca said that someone went 50x long, put $200 million on the line right before Trump made that tweet. He bought Ethereum and Bitcoin. Eric Trump came out and said that, you know, this was all done for retail. It was done on Sunday, so that way Wall Street was asleep. And, you know, this is, you know, rah, rah. And then the craziest things that have happened, in my view, are Peter Schiff coming out and saying, I understand why you would have a strategic Bitcoin reserve because it's digital gold, but I don't understand all of the other things. And then, of course, the maybe even crazier than Peter Schiff is Brian Armstrong coming out and saying, I think that Bitcoin only would be the best option. So a lot to take in here, gents. Rick, I'm going to just hand it off to you. Why don't you give like an opening statement? What's your take? And we'll dive into all these topics as we go.
Yeah, man, what a wild like 48 hours or whatever it's been, right? Like this is the news that everyone's talking about, is this strategic now crypto reserve, right? We've moved the goalpost. We were promised a strategic Bitcoin reserve on day one. We're several days later than that, and now we've just got a crypto reserve. I mean, it's quite astonishing, isn't it? Let's first deal with like the shit coins that Trump is suggesting that we put in this reserve, right? So one of them, well, it was XRP, ADA, Sol, and ETH outside of Bitcoin, right? And this is just unbelievable. I mean, XRP is a pre-mined coin that everybody knows is a scam, right? And Ripple still hold 42% of the supply of that coin. And now apparently the American government are going to buy it from them. You've got ADA with Charles Hoskinson, which is famously a total ghost chain. I mean, that the less that's said about that scam, the better. Another centralized scam. You've got Sol. Well, it's no real surprises that he might support that one, right? Because if we remember, he's just recently launched Trump coin and Melania coin on Sol, right? So not a big surprise that he supports that. And Sol's only really good for launching meme coins and pump and dumps, right? So it's not so much alt season as it's just flat out crime season this time around, right? Like who could write it? I mean, moving on, there's so much to cover, right? But the question is, why would he be lining the pockets of these grifters, right? Ripple hold most of the XRP. Charles Hoskinson owns a whole load of ADA. And now, for some reason, the U.S. government will use taxpayer money to go and buy their bags, which is just astonishing. The whole thing, to me, stinks to high heaven. Like, you mentioned that someone, literally hours before Trump posted that post, put a long position, a leveraged long position, 50x leverage on Bitcoin and Ethereum, the total value of which was $200 million, right? Now, most people who are hopefully smart enough not to use leverage might not realize that with a 50x leverage position, the price only has to move against you 2% before it completely wipes you out, right? So for someone to take such a large position at such a high risk, it kind of smells like someone knew this announcement was coming, right? And then for Eric Trump to basically come out and say, yeah, we did this on a Sunday because like all the traditional finance people were asleep. I'm kind of like, oh man, if you're going to run a scam, keep your mouth shut, right? That's kind of crazy to me. And the most painful thing, just to sort of sum up for me, is the state of Bitcoin Twitter, right? Like, I know lots of people are big fans of Trump and thinks he's going to, you know, save us and put us on a Bitcoin standard. But, like, I've seen political apologists calling this, like, 4D chess, right? Like, oh, it's, yeah, but it's just some sneaky game where he launches it with shit coins, but then moves back his position and we end up with a Bitcoin reserve. And I'm like, guys, like, some of these guys, honestly, like, Trump could sleep with their wife and they would still find a complicated way to explain why it was good for their marriage, right? Like, the man can do no wrong. It's honestly pathetic. And I think it's ridiculous not to hold Trump and these people to the same standards as everyone else. If me, you, or Tony launched some of these coins or started promoting them, everyone would rightly call us idiots or scammers. So why we make exceptions for politicians, I'll never understand. And, you know, let's be honest, you've basically endorsed a load of scams that is, you know, going to lead a load of Americans like lambs to the slaughter, who are going to get repped by in these things because they think they're legitimate now. If that's 4D chess, like, you, man, come on, that's crazy. And the final thing I'll say is, like, and the government are going to spend whose money on these shit coins? Well, of course, the taxpayer, because the government doesn't have any money of its own. So should they even have a reserve? If you have excess money, give it back to the taxpayers. So overall, yeah, just like we've said before, we're heading into full Weimar Germany territory, speculation, gambling, craziness. What a shit show. So that's about as brief as it can be to sum the whole story up.
No. Well, I'm sure we'll get more of your thoughts here on some of these topics in a minute. I think that's a pretty good synopsis of what we're seeing. Tony, why don't you share your thoughts, and then we'll kind of bat around some of these specifics.
Well, for me, this is what the end looks like. It's a complete farce, man. This is like a whole circus on full throttle. I mean, like, it's like almost a movie that, you know, you can't believe you're watching. The whole thing is a scam. All of these people are scammers, you know, from the top to the bottom. And the fact that it's done so publicly and so nonchalantly, and, you know, with the with an air of, yeah, guys, you know, it's like a bit, it's a big wild party, and nobody gives a shit, right? It just destroys all credibility, you know, behind all of these people. I mean, of course, you know, in the beginning, when you hear the marketing, you know, you have high hopes someone's going to come in and finally do some change and implement things in the proper way. And then, you know, they come in and then you see this. So what does that tell you, man? That tells you that it was all rubbish to begin with. There's nothing, you know, substantial behind it. And it's just, you know, the same games all over again, just using a different, you know, shade of a different, like, different paint. They don't care about the American people. It's very clear. They think you're all a bunch of fucking idiots, because otherwise, why would they be abusing you, you know, in such an open way? And nobody cares. I mean, this 50x leverage trade, obviously it's insider trading. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that this is what happened. But, you know, again, it's the same club. You're not in it, so you're not privy to all of these advantages. And who cares what you think? You know, just give the people the buzzwords that they're looking for, Bitcoin, Ethereum, you know, tell them we're going to do something with it, and they'll clap, you know, like happy seals. You can't trust these people. The legacy system must go, all right? So Bitcoin was created to replace it. You cannot expect the legacy system to carry you into a Bitcoin standard. It's like oil and water. One was created to replace it, so you can't expect the other one to welcome it in with open arms. It has to be taken away from them, you know, like a clean format. But that takes education, you know, and as long as the masses are, you know, blind and walking off a cliff and just playing all these casino games thinking they're making money, well, it's just going to prolong that painful process for them, unfortunately.
Yeah, you hit on something really important. Well, I think you both hit on interesting points. So Bitcoin was designed to replace the legacy system. And Rick, you hit on the point that Bitcoin Twitter is finding any and all excuse they can find to justify it. Not everyone. There are certain people in particular. Like, I won't mention David Bailey's name, but he tweeted something about someone had some back and forth with him, and they're just calling it a strategic Bitcoin reserve. And that's I don't even know how you come up with that any longer. Like, it's not a Bitcoin reserve. It doesn't exist yet. So like, we're going to still have to see what happens. But I guess my frustration is, Rick, the same one that you share. And what David Bailey said in his tweet was, he was going back and forth with someone. He said, I'm here to help Bitcoin adoption grow and for number go up. And I was like, what about the separation of money and state? Like, do you Chancellor on the brink? that's where this all started, is like, because of the money printer, because of reckless government spending and an inability to manage their ability to control the money supply appropriately, prevent inflation. That's why Bitcoin exists. And no one's talking about the fact that even if this was a strategic Bitcoin reserve only, which it is not, it doesn't even resemble a Bitcoin reserve, that still does nothing to eliminate government from our money supply. And like, no one's even talking about that. Like, I haven't seen anyone say, hey, what about separation of money and state? This isn't bullish. You know, it's bullish for number go up maybe, but it's not bullish for Bitcoin doing what it was intended to do. So I don't know. That's maybe just a rant. I don't know if there's a question in there for either of you, but
you're right. Bitcoin is a bottoms up movement, but the bottom is retarded and doing nothing. That's the problem. Right. So the bottom is waiting for the top to do something, which is, you know, completely against the whole premise of Bitcoin. If you have more people who understand that the dollar or fiat currency is not money, that simple sentence still hasn't sunk in the heads of the majority of people. That is fundamentally the issue. That's why they chase these casino games, thinking they just need to make more of it. And then they'll be fine. That's fundamentally the problem, is that they still think this garbage paper is money. That needs to change. And until that does, you're going to continue seeing this, because it's easy to abuse. Like, I mean, if you were in the shoes of a government and these are politicians, this is like Disneyland for you. You've got like an ocean of morons that you can, you know, like milk any day of the week easily. Why wouldn't you do it? Right.
Yeah.
If you can, are you not entertained? Why won't you do it?
Yeah, Michael, I would add to what you were saying. Like, there's some things that I think are true, right? So, you know, I don't think there's any amount of shit coining that the U.S. government can do that will stop Bitcoin separating money from state, right? Based on what we know about how Bitcoin works, that is an inevitability. But the real frustration is, you know, the amount of chaos and pain they're going to cause people along the way needlessly, right? So I've heard people say, and I tend to agree with them, like, oh, it's fine, because if they buy a load of crypto, the crypto will trend to zero anyway, and ultimately it will end up 100% Bitcoin reserve. And yeah, you know what, like, theoretically, absolutely, you know, they're right. But endorsing these things is a really, really bad idea. And using taxpayer money to buy them, also a really, really bad idea. So this is just, man, look, this is the politicians cashing out on you. You know, that's as simple as it is, right? Like, you know, being able to drop a tweet and move markets like that and promote scammy stuff. I mean, they were always going to crypto, weren't they? Because what governments and politicians want more than anything is control. But nobody can control Bitcoin. So, you know, just in their very nature, it's how they think, it's how they're designed. They move towards these centralized solutions. And people like David Bailey and all these other clowns that just hanging along, like, they just want to remain relevant, right? They're just here for the views, the clicks, their own personal brand, and they'll cozy up. They don't have integrity, in my opinion, these people. So they'll cozy up to anyone if it will advance their, you know, their image or anything like that, you know, and they'll jump on the next thing quickly as well. So I hope a lot of people can see through the noise and see that, you know, Bitcoin is a very different animal, and actually that they should just focus on what they're doing, because the government's going to lead you astray and they're going to make all these crazy mistakes on the way, right? Like, that's the takeaway here that you'd hope everyone gets, because ultimately, I don't care what Donald Trump does. I don't care how much shitcoining he does. I think it's bad for the American people, but it won't change my strategy. So, you know, hopefully people get on that Bitcoin-only strategy, that self-custody strategy, and realize that, like, if you want to leave this circus, you can. You don't have to play these games and get your ass handed to you anymore. You can exit stage left, you know? So, yeah, what a crazy week, though.
Yeah, I think my like I don't know that I had like a base case for what I expected. I wasn't expecting a strategic reserve day one. I mean, and to be fair, Trump promised a strategic stockpile. Like, we're not going to sell. Like, he didn't promise millions of dollars of buys of Bitcoin or whatever. I think once is it David Sacks? Is that his crypto czar? Like, I think he's got his hands in a bunch of projects or something. So like, it doesn't surprise me that, and like, he's meeting with Brad Garlinghouse and these other, you know, criminals. Like, it doesn't shock me that we ended up somewhere different. I guess I'm mostly just frustrated with the response of people who are so upset by this. I understand. I'm upset that Brad Garlinghouse is going to get his bags pumped. Like, I don't want that guy to get his bags pumped. And I also don't want my money being used to buy things that I have no faith in and are total scams. But beyond that, I just don't care. Like, it doesn't impact my daily life. I'm more upset for the people who see this sort of announcement. They go buy a bunch of XRP because they think it's going to the moon. And then, you know, to your point, Rick, like, over the long course of history, it trends to zero and they're left with nothing. Like, I think too many people are upset because they're like, oh, I want a Bitcoin reserve. And it's like, I don't, like, I want nothing to do with that. Like, I have no interest in it. I just feel bad for all of the collateral damage that's going to play out. What do you guys think though about, like, Peter Schiff? Like, it feels like the Twilight Zone. Like Peter Schiff called Bitcoin digital gold. Like, if you go read his tweet, he called it digital gold. So he doesn't think it's literally nothing, which he's been saying for 10 years. I think there's a 0% chance that Peter Schiff doesn't own some Bitcoin. I don't buy it. I think it's a charade at this point. But to come out publicly though and make that statement, I mean, I have no idea what to do with that.
Because even he thinks it's too, they've gone too far with the farce. Like, I mean, even he doesn't buy, like, the words can't come out of his mouth anymore to justify what he used to say. You know, it's that flagrant, that obvious, that stupid, that even, you know, your traditional shitcoiners, even there's the guy from Coinbase, Brian Armstrong, even he was surprised. He's like, hold on a second, guys. Like, I mean, I have a casino. And even I know that this is a bad idea. So when you have guys like this doing this, they weren't expecting it either. So some, I think these guys were also left in the dark, you know, when that announcement and when this whole thing took place over the weekend, they had no idea it was coming. So they're like, holy shit, what just happened here? And here we are again, the whole circus, right? But no one was invited to the show. You just had to see it happen when it took place. It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. But the worst part is we see it because we're in such a closed echo chamber. The general population has no idea any of this has ever happened. Like, for them, it's just barbecue over the weekend. Like, ask them, you know, what important thing took place last Sunday.
Yeah.
And they have nothing to tell you. So you have to keep that in mind as well, that why we have these craziness is because it's a very small percentage of folks that are actually paying attention to it, right? And in that tiny percentage, half of them are morons or liars or scammers or grifters. So that's why things take time, and that's why we have all this insanity, you know, almost on a weekly basis now. So, but it's funny. It's a great entertainment, man. I mean, well, but, you know, do you know, hold your Bitcoin in self-custody and just put your emotions on ice, because otherwise you're going to, you know, you're going to drive yourself to a mental asylum if you really let yourself get carried away by this.
Yeah, I think Peter Schiff probably at least appreciates that Bitcoiners seem earnest with regards to what Bitcoin is. Like, he'll go on and debate Bitcoiners about gold versus Bitcoin. He's not doing that with Ripple, you know, he's not doing that with Ethereum, right? Like, He imagines that he thinks Bitcoin is a scam, but he agrees philosophically with Bitcoiners on a lot of things, you know, sound money, small government, like those sorts of principles. And so, but I feel like if he doesn't already own Bitcoin, which I absolutely think he does, he at least, I think, is coming around to the fact that we're not grifters the way that, you know, Brad Garlinghouse is or whatever. But I don't know.
Do you remember, Michael, do you remember when on the presidential campaign, when Trump was in McDonald's, like making fries for everyone. If he keeps buying shit coins at this rate, he's going to be straight back there, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. What about the World Liberty Fi project? You know, that like that's their crypto thing. Does anyone know what that is? Like, I have no idea. Like, is that a coin? Is that something that he would put into the reserve, or he has to be careful of conflicts of interest or something? I don't know.
No idea. I think it's some business, some fund that buys shitcoins or whatever, right? So who knows?
Okay, you're not invited to that club, Michael. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's not a club I particularly care to be a part of. Yeah, well, I guess we could probably go in circles on the strategic shitcoin reserve for days. You guys want to hit one or two more topics here before we wrap up? All right, let's do it. All righty, so we've got Samson Mao shared. So we talked about the El Salvador news, the IMF loan that they received, and they're not allowed to do a lot of things with Bitcoin. He clarifies they basically can't do anything. They can't buy Bitcoin anymore. They're not allowed to mine Bitcoin. Rick, I think it says it excludes the accumulation of Bitcoin resulting from forfeiture, seizure, apprehension, custody. So I think if, you know, like they seize Bitcoin because of a, you know, a criminal operation or something, I think they can keep it. But they're basically not allowed to proactively be Bitcoiners, it sounds like, in El Salvador. I will be fascinated to see how the Bukeleites spin this news and it's still Bitcoin country and blah, blah, blah. Tony, what you've been kind of calling this for a while, man. What's your thought?
Man, it was crystal clear since day one. As soon as they announced this deal, I knew it was done. Like, how do you make a deal with the devil and expect it to still be your rules that are in play? I don't know how they're still buying Bitcoin. Somehow, you know, at some point there was a pause for 8 days, but then, you know, they came out and they had bought 8 Bitcoin, somehow making up for that, you know, that gap. And some people still argue they're still buying a Bitcoin a day. So if they are, like, where is it coming from? Like, there must be some sort of, like, you know, behind the scenes, you know, like gameplay that it's not really coming straight from the loan, right? It must be coming from somewhere else. And it's just like a facade that they're still buying it. Because if they gave you the loan and the terms of the loan are you have to do X, Y, and Z, otherwise there's no loan, well, then, you know, you have to abide by them, right? And if you don't, that would be historical. Like, if he just gives them the finger and carries on anyhow, no matter what, that's a whole different story. But again, like I said last time, you don't know what happens behind the scenes, you know, in these circles. Like, you don't know what the conversations are. Were there physical threats? Were there, you know, certain types of conversations that we're not privy to that lead to decisions like this? Like, you don't know. But the bottom line is that you can't rely on any politician. You know, the people have to take control themselves, because these people are not on your side. They're not on your team. They have an agenda to fulfill. And, you know, that's all they're looking out for is themselves, their agenda. And that's it. You want to save yourself, it's on you. Nobody else is coming. You don't want to believe that you have to do this. Well, you're going to believe it, you know, when you completely get financially massacred sooner rather than later, the way things are going globally these days. Very sad to see. I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. I genuinely like the guy. I think he's a great guy. I think his intentions are good. But again, you know, like, I mean, you can't deny what you see. And I've been saying this for a while, is that IMF deal was a bad idea, no matter how you want to spin it. Some people will argue, fair enough, you're entitled to your opinion. But, you know, time will tell who was right about this.
Yeah, Rick, I think you've raised the point that, you know, we don't really know the economic necessity of a deal like this with the IMF. Like, there could be a real need where he's like, hey, you know, our country is suffering in some way, and a billion and a half is probably a lot for a small country like El Salvador. But man, this is a big concession to make, especially when like the PR has been come to Bitcoin country. I'd be curious, you know, if you've changed your view on that, or if that's still sort of your general thought on El Salvador.
You know, well, first thing to say, I'm no expert on what's going on in El Salvador, their financial situation, the challenges that the country faces, or anything like that. So, you know, it'd be wrong for me to talk on Bukele's sort of motivations for doing a deal with the IMF. But yeah, look, I guess it's disappointing. The IMF here are starting to play hardball now. You know, there's like over 190 countries or something that operate under the IMF rules. And when they put this kind of pressure on El Salvador, it's sending a clear message to everyone that you should not be interacting with Bitcoin. We're not going to tolerate that sort of behavior. So, you know, I think what's interesting here is I think it's a good opportunity for Bitcoiners to realize that sometimes our whole industry gets way too carried away with itself and way too hyperbolic, right? So I remember it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about, oh, and the El Salvador are going to tell the IMF to swivel and go away. We're not doing business with you anymore. And everyone's up cheering about that and all that good stuff. And then what do we find out? Not long later, they're doing deals with the IMF. Same thing with the strategic Bitcoin reserve. There's going to be a Bitcoin reserve on day one. A few months later, we've got some insider trading and you know, buying shit coins and all this crazy carry on, right? So, you know, to underline Tony's point, like these people are not on your team. They're not going to work in your interest. That's been true since almost the dawn of time. And it's not changed now because your favorite politician is in power. There's a really naive sort of view of the world. So the promise of Bitcoin is that it allows you to free yourself. It allows you to become sovereign. And a politician or a political party or an organization like the IMF does not have to be involved or give you permission for you to take those actions and take things into your own hands. So I hope people realize, like, that's the clown show. Don't get dragged from pillar to post by all this news, right? Understand the simple truth that nobody can stop you from using Bitcoin as a tool to protect your wealth, to save it, to send uncensorable transactions. And actually, that's the safest place to be, because look at this craziness, right? It's absolutely wild out there. So you've got to take matters into your own hands now. And hey, look, I hope Bukele is playing some 4D chess like apparently Donald Trump is, right? But my guess is that, well, politicians for the rest of my life will continue to philander and do unspeakable things that we don't support, right? So I'm not going to hold my breath. And yeah, just reiterate that statement, like stop giving these politicians any control over your life. They really don't need to. Take some agency. The key here is agency, right? It's up to you. But look, we beat that drum every week, so hopefully we get through to a few people, right? But yeah, sad to see, but not unexpected, I guess.
Yeah, no heroes in Bitcoin. It's only a matter of time before someone messes up, us included. Like, we shouldn't be your Bitcoin. No one should be your Bitcoin heroes, right? Okay, Rick, last one. You had a genius tweet this week. So you shared with Bitcoin Twitter that the Bitcoin Waves acquired 72,348 Bitcoin. And, you kind of went on and talked about, the price at which we acquired it. And of course our treasury is secured by our partners at Coinbase Prime. And this created a fun little stir. I think a handful of people thought you were being serious. Why don't you tell people about our reserve?
Well, you know, I couldn't possibly take credit for this tweet, right? Because it was Andy's idea that we should make a sort of tweet like this, right? So yeah, really, really funny. I mean, the weird thing about it, right, is I'm a bit torn. I can't decide whether I think people like the tweet because they think it's funny, but based on some of the replies, like I'm also thinking quite a lot of people might think it's real and they're like supporting us. Like MicroStrategy or something, like, yeah, pump my bags, right? A couple of people genuinely asking me, like, for proof, right? Like, post the address and all this sort of stuff. On a couple of occasions, so I started just giving them one of Satoshi's wallet addresses, right? Like, from, is the address he used to mine the Genesis block for the first 50 coins or whatever. And a couple of people, when I sent it to them, were like, okay, thanks. And I'm just like, oh man, there's no hope for some of these guys, right? But more, it's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing. Like, we're a company that sells, like, you know, self-custody training, talking about giving up our Bitcoin reserve for Coinbase Prime to look over. I would have hoped it'd be a bit more obvious, but yeah, no, that was a fun one.
That was a good one. Tony's probably watching the replies come in and he's like, no.
Yeah, man. I was really curious to see how many people are going to take this seriously. A big part of me were like, holy shit, man. People are actually going to take us for like really, really seriously here. and we're going to start to have to add every day. Yeah, I added 90 this afternoon. How many did you add earlier this morning? You know, yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, it's all fun and games all the same. But, you know, just to tell you, people understand nothing out there. It's really scary sometimes to read, you know, some of the stuff that's posted. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, Rick, I think you need to quote tweet that and say, this is a joke, everyone, in case there's anyone
who's looking for entertainment purposes only.
They're looking for the TBW stock ticker so they can buy in early or something like that. Alrighty, guys.
I'm going to announce a corporate takeover of MicroStrategy. We're now taking over strategy. We want to increase our Bitcoin by buying that company.
Amazing. I think that's our, we'll give it a week or two so people kind of forget things, the dust settles, and then we'll make the announcement. Alrighty. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this one. This is always a fun topic when you have big news going on in the week. We do not custody our Bitcoin at Coinbase Prime. We help our clients take proper 100% custody of their Bitcoin the right way. We take no shortcuts, make no compromises. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We can help you do it right the first time. We also help with online privacy phones. We have a Plan B residency option so you can be fully self-sovereign digitally in terms of your finances, in terms of your jurisdictional optionality. thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Check it out. We'd love to schedule some time to chat with you. Gentlemen, good chatting. Always a blast and a pleasure. I look forward to catching up again in a few days.
Thanks, Michael. It's always good to be here, man.
Thanks, Michael.
And cheers, guys.